You're listening to Coriander Society Adventures, a Casters and Castles production. This is Episode 5, The Secret.
Welcome back from the break, everybody. We return to our heroes in the sewers, underneath the cellar, underneath the basement, underneath the Black Rose. Our heroes have just are in the process of recovering from a conflict against a group of mobsters working for Gianni Pavlo and a terrible misunderstanding with a gigantic freaking crocodile named Big Susie, who dwells down here in the sewer. They are resting in a storage room, licking their wounds, recovering to decide their next move, and having a little bit of a talk.
Okay, so I can see that you guys have questions. You've told me as much. I think we're kind of in a place where it still reeks, but I'm not standing in muck anymore.
Can we say that I have all of my mines now?
Yes, you did successfully recover them.
Well, while he talks, can I pull out a little contraption that I plug them all into? And I'm just like, yeah, go on. Yeah, that's about it.
And so John looks between Senna and Gaston and says, okay, so you guys have been noticing like some weird things. You've been asking questions for a while now, and I've been pretty big about deflecting them just because my brand of investigation gets kind of weird. And when people aren't prepared for it, they tend to freak out, go a bit loosey-goosey and either pass out or just... I wouldn't say don't believe me, but, you know, it's one of those things that it's easier to show than to tell, if you get my drift. Gaston, earlier you asked about the head, right?
I did.
Okay, so here, let me just, first of all, before we continue, and without even trying to hide it, John goes through the motions. He says a few somatic components, he says some verbal components, does some gesticulation using somatic components with his hands, and with a snap of his fingers, the soiled clothes that you guys have from the waist and knees down are just completely cleaned. He cleans his clothes. He cleans your clothes. Every little muck and awfulness that was sticking to you just disappears, and it looks like your clothes just ran through the dry cleaner. They look and smell amazing.
Whoa.
All right, let me just get that bit of business out of the way. So, oh yeah, right. I was going to show, not tell. I pull out my briefcase, and open it up. I unclick the briefcase and I walk into the center of the room, set it down between Asena and Gaston, and I open it up and just kind of present it there in front of you. I say, go ahead, take a look.
You want me to look at that head?
Well, more than just the head. You know what? And I pick up the briefcase and just kind of hold it open in front of them. And as I hold the briefcase open, rather than there being just a head smushed and shoved into this briefcase, very Mary Poppins style, you guys look inside and this briefcase is larger on the inside than it looks like on the outside. As you peer in, you see that there is a space that just goes deeper, 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 and probably about 4 or 5 feet into this briefcase, there is, nestled in the corner, is the slightly leaky and very dead head of the recently turned Foster Talon, as well as an accumulation of little boxes and overflowing with papers and books and little assorted knickknacks and whatnots, a few light bulbs.
Is a desk lamp in there?
Yeah, there's basically a small little office inside of this briefcase. Yeah. And just so many little, this is for Senna, so many baubles and trinkets and just little collections of things. It looks like a tiny little museum office in there. And John kind of like is just holding this thing in front of them, like holding his breath, just he closes it up. And you guys all right?
Yes.
Oops. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched her talk to an alligator or a giant alligator. So I'm pretty open to anything right now.
Here's the thing. When we first met, I was a little worried how much I should say or do around you guys. But the longer that we've been traveling together over the last evening and through today, You can talk to alligators and punch people through walls and catch bullets. And you can apparently knit people back together with your own hands. And I gesture over to Gaston. And you have spiders that explode and kill things. You can, on the fly, construct contraptions that can find energy sources. I mean, look, here's the thing. Originally, I thought I was going to have to lead you guys by the hand in this thing. But honestly, you're keeping me alive. So I'm very happy that we kind of bumped into each other, because I've been in Northport now for the last 6 months. And trust me, there's some amazing people here. But you guys are on a whole different level.
So you have a little office in your briefcase.
Yeah, you could say that, kind of, yeah.
Where, you've said you've been here for 6 months. I have a ton of questions. But where are you from?
Not here.
Obviously.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Like, I'm not from out of town. I'm from way out of town. Like, light years away. I'm not like an alien around. Well, actually, maybe I'm an alien. I don't really know what the terminology would be. Do you guys have aliens here, even? Is that a thing? Extraterrestrial?
Not much about anything.
I would like to think so. All the myths are true, if I recall. Well, I mean, I don't think... Okay, that's a whole other conversation. But you know what I'm trying to say.
Anyways, look, I'm stuck here. I've been trying to find a way out for a while. And I finally... And John kind of reaches into... He had taken off his trench coat and laid it over the side. He takes what looks like a weird... Well, the easy way to describe it, it's a weird-looking key. And look, I've got this thing. This is what I usually use to get around, but it's on the fritz right now. It's not working so good. And I've been trying to locate a reagent to try and jumpstart it and get it back to working. I think that Ralsamon or Brandt might have something that I need. I've been globetrotting, looking through the ruins of some of the nearby ancient places you guys got around here. And on the side times, I've been trying to solve crimes like that angel killer case, or, you know, doing stuff with the Omalon spy, and really just kind of making sure that while I'm here, I do as good as I can to leave this place better than I found it. But here's the thing. Things have gotten kind of screwed up. The person that I came here with, she hates me now. And I kind of deserve it, is the thing. Like I told you guys before, I'm not a very good guy. I'm big on the wisecracking and the jokes and stuff, but honestly, I'm a piece of shit. And I'm coming to terms with that. And I'm doing that by drinking to excess and focusing on trying to save people's lives before I can get the thing I need to get out of here. So here's where we're at. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, but I would kind of like your guys' help, because you are extremely capable individuals. And look, I just need to get the hell out of here, because there's something coming for me. That's all I know. And I don't really want to be in Northport when it finds me. You know what I mean?
Who'd you come here with?
Remember that lady that like looked like a bear? That's not the best way to put it. Like, you know, the one that you said if you could see her guns, like she looks like she could break your neck just with a look.
Ugh. Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah. We were besties. Well, we were associates. And, I mean, there's probably a reason for that, knowing you and your connection to the natural world. She's also not from around here, obviously. And she's got her own baggage to unpack. Look, don't worry about her. I think she's going to stay here. She's fine. No one's looking for her. At least not yet. But she's doing good work here.
Before we get to what's looking for you, why did you take Talon's head?
Oh, well, because we recently found out, which, by the way, good job with the questions you were asking to the guy at the morgue, but we found out that, look, long story short, all of the corpses that I've encountered in regards to this angel killer case, they always had their spine severed. Not like the whole head removed, but their spine was always severed. And I thought that the angel killer was doing it. But by the time we got there, Foster's head hadn't been severed. The spine hadn't been cut. And then we found out the morgue guy got replaced. Carl wasn't there anymore. And instead, it was that new guy that almost died. Look, We know from what happened, Ralzamon's goons showed up. They were there to collect Talon. The weird cultist guy even said it. I'm thinking, I never thought this was the case, but Ralzamon apparently has something to do with this angel killer. He could be the one behind everything, and apparently he had some weird, either he was threatening this person at the morgue, or maybe they were one of his cultists, who knows, but it was the person at the morgue that was doing the cutting. I just never got there in time. I mean, obviously, I wasn't able to find out at the scene of the crime, because I wasn't looking for this whole head detachment thing. And by the time I figured out that it was happening, I wasn't able to get there and actually figure out if it was happening before or after they got there. So it makes perfect sense. But look, regardless, what we're looking at here is that we know that Ralzamon is involved with the Angel Killer. We know that Brant's involved with the mob, and the mob has been seen at not both locations. Look, they're working with Brant, but they were nearby that Angel Killer with Foster Talon in the roof. And then there's that weird cat lady, Senna. So honestly, there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of things happening. And look, we need to get up there and go find out what's going on with Chu. So why don't you guys just kind of rapid fire, ask me what you need to ask me to feel good about what's going on here, and then let's go beat up some bad guys. You know what I mean?
You didn't answer the question, though. I still don't understand why you have the head. I understand all that other, well, most of that other stuff, but his neck was severed. He already zombified. We killed him again. Well, we didn't kill him the first time, but you get it. And you have his head in a briefcase. That has nothing to do with previous procedure. Why?
Because I was planning on talking to him later, when we have time.
Excuse me?
Look, I can only do it one time. It's a scroll. Or something. Look, I can't normally do that kind of a thing. It's not in my purview. But I got my hands on an old scroll that will allow me to do a ritual, and I can talk to Talon and find out what happened, who killed him, what the whole thing was. We only get a few questions, and it takes time to do. It's not something I can just whip out on the fly. This is kind of an end of the day thing, but it can give us information. All right, this is pretty important.
Okay, you can talk to the headless dead guy
one time. That's not a normal thing.
One time.
It's a one and done thing, unless I can go find another one, which I have not been able to find almost any arcane or esoteric stuff here. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff here, but not the kind of stuff that's useful to me.
But ultimately, you just want to fix your key to get out of here, so why do you even care about the little angel case in our world?
Because people are dying, Senna. I mean, I didn't like the idea of you feeding the mobster that crocodile.
I didn't like the idea of you stabbing the crocodile with a big trident when she wasn't doing anything to us.
I mean, I didn't mind until after you talked to her.
I didn't even know you could do that. Look, Senna, I'm really sorry that happened, and I know that was a big deal for you. You have an obvious and amazing connection to the natural world. I respect that and kind of admire it, to be honest. But I mean, I had no idea you could talk to that thing, and it was a ravaging beast that was... Look, I've interacted with plenty of incredible beings in my time, and crocodiles aren't so high on the oh my god meter, you know?
Oh, okay.
So now that I'm aware of that, I will, in the future, I will try to... God, Look, if you weren't around, I wouldn't even know. I'll do better. Believe me, I'm going to try. If there's any animals or any weird things around, I will let you talk to it first before I go stabby, stabby, shooty, shooty. But then I like kind of look over at Gaston. Just saying, though, he blew the thing up with a bunch of spider bots and then shot it in the face. I was kind of following up. I'm not shouldering my own responsibility. I totally had something to do with it. It's just, I'm not the only one who's culpable here. Back me up, Gaston.
I'm throwing you under the bus. Back me up.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, like, my reasons were the same as his. I thought it was going to eat us. I can't talk to crocodiles. I could feel like it doesn't get any simpler than that. But I am cool with letting you talk to animals for before shooting them for the future. Only partially so we can save bullets.
I think
bullets,
you guys need to be a little bit more careful about the things that are around you.
And I completely agree with you. I don't usually talk to animals. I'm going to put that out there. My purview.
But even then, they're not just expendable.
Absolutely. But honestly, neither are people, Senna.
I was going to say.
You literally fed a human being to that thing. And I don't like mobsters myself. I think that if they do bad stuff, they deserve to have bad stuff done to them. But I especially, when we're in the heat of the moment, I don't mind.
He wasn't a bad guy.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if in the heat of the moment, I'll shoot a guy's head off, no problem. But once we've captured him and are interrogating him and stuff, I don't like just feeding them literally to the crocs. You know what I mean? Anyways, we're getting, well, I was trying, I gave him a nice little dream. So when he could pass on into the next realm, he wasn't literally getting gobbled. Look, one of my fears is getting gobbled up and eaten. Can you imagine? What if that thing, it was going to bite him in half and I stopped him from being just ripped in twain, because that's awful. Have you ever seen documentaries where lions and stuff are eating people? They start at the butt or the gut. They rip you out from the inside, and it's for a thinking, reasoning creature, it's horrible. We're getting off topic here.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did we get here?
You had asked me why I care. And the fact of the matter is that much like you, and what if you guys are, I mean, I guess we're all humans, but I'm a human being and I care about people's lives no matter where I go, whether it be here or Merlin World or somewhere else. You know, when I'm traveling throughout the cosmos, I want to make sure that if I can do good, I do. And, you know, the road to hell, they say, is paved with good intentions. I try my best, and sometimes I make things worse than they were when we started, but I just want to help, okay?
Right.
And also, well, I need to get the hell out of here, so I need that reagent from either Rosamond or Brandt. I don't know who has it, but one of them does. So here's what I'm thinking. I am going to be trying to do everything I can to get to the bottom of this. We have the Angel Killer case. We have your cat lady. And we have the mob. I'm okay helping Gaston get to the mob. I'm okay helping you get to your cat lady, as long as you guys are helping me get what I need from Brandt or Rosamond. Does that sound okay? Would you mind putting a little more trust in me? We work together and we can try and get through this. And hey, I mean, who knows what'll happen during this interaction that we have over the next few nights solving these cases and stuff. Who knows? Maybe you guys want to, I don't know.
I'm okay with still continuing to help you, but you're going to have to tell us a bit more, because a lot of weird stuff has been happening that kind of just throws us off guard. I mean, like, I don't understand how you were there watching Gaston and I in that house. You seem to have known everything that happened, unless you are your cat. And then you tried to... You saved me with some sort of red stone. Like, I have no idea what's going on.
Ooh, okay. That's a lot to unpack. So first of all, John snaps his fingers and Chester walks from behind one of the barrels.
Oh.
I am not the cat. And unfortunately, the cat is not the cat. The cat is a coping mechanism of mine. And at that, Chester jumps up into your lap, Asena, but it's not touching you. And the cat looks up at you, paws at your face, and its paw goes right through your cheek. It's just an illusion. It's just something that I do to kind of cope with the loneliness of my situation. You could call me a wizard, I guess, is the best way to describe it. There's different names for it depending on where you go, but I can do things with a little bit of bat guano or a little gesticulation in my hands. I try to hide it. I try to do it kind of subtly. I don't want to get it around that this is a thing that I can do, because then either people want to use you and abuse you, or they want to put you in a school, or they want to put you on a table. And look, regardless of where you go, when people find out that you can do shit, they want you to do shit for them. And I do shit for me. And I do shit for people that need it. So why don't we just keep this between us? Let's not let this get around. Again, you can make amazing, I looked at Gaston, amazing and marvelous gadgets that can basically do the kind of stuff that I can do. It's honestly incredible what you can do with technology. I am extremely impressed and would like to, when we can eventually get back to your lab, figure out a bit of what you do and see if I can incorporate it into my stuff. Oh, speaking of which, hey, bit of a what do you call it? A parting gift. I pull out a device. It looks like a little, I don't know how I would describe it in Northport. Look, it's a smartphone. John pulls out a smartphone and passes it over to Gaston. I unlock it first. And basically I've unlocked it. I tell him, go buck wild. Look on through it, and I kind of explain, just, you know, you tap the screen, it can move around. I give him a very brief explanation of how to use it, and basically all of John's spells are in there. He's connected to the Ethernet, like the literal Ethernet. So this thing has an internet connection no matter where he goes, and it has the accumulation of all the world's knowledge stashed into its little form.
Just whatever you do, if you click on the gallery, do not swipe right on the gallery, all right?
Never, ever swipe right. You know, don't even click on that thing. Like I said, I'm very lonely.
Okay.
There's some weird shit in there. So just stay on, I walk over and take the phone back, and I go, just stay on, I move to a different screen. Any of these applications you can click on and move through, just do not leave this page. But it basically, anything that you would want to look up and try to find, it's in there. Enjoy. I'll share that with you for a while.
I can just take it?
Well, no, you can't take it. I mean, while we're sitting here and getting a rest. I mean, like I said, I can share with you some things. And then when we go back to your lab, maybe you can show me some things. But what I'm saying is I am not ignorant to technology is all.
Got you.
Yeah. Sure. Anyways, and Senna, look, whatever I can do to help you, I would like to. You are an anomaly to me. Gaston and I, we get along great because this magic and tech thing in Northport seems really symbiotic and connects really well. But I have never, ever had a connection to the natural world like you do. I can force some things. I can mimic it. I can do things that are kind of similar. But healing, completely beyond my purview. Talking to animals, that's really hard. On a good day, I can do it when I'm prepared and I'm ready, but not normally. So anyways, here's my thing. Just like I did to that guy, if you guys trust me and are okay with it, I can give us literally a little catnap. We can take a really quick short rest, just as long as you're willing. I snap my fingers, you knock out for 10 minutes, and you wake back up like you'd had a great 1 hour power nap. So we can be ready to move on and head up there and take out Chu. Oh, yeah, your other question. And this is really expensive, so I'm just going to explain it rather than actually do it. But I can do this thing where as long as I focus and concentrate, I can extend my mind's eye or something to anywhere that I've been or... for instance, let's say that you went up there right now, Senna. I could focus on you, and I'd be able to create a little invisible sensor that would follow you over your head, almost like a camera or something. And it would follow you around wherever you go. And for about 10 minutes or so, I could listen to and see anything that you can. Or like what happened back at the Donahue Institute, I've been there before. I just put one of my little sensors inside of the room, and I was able to listen in on what you guys were doing.
Gaston and Asena, roll insight checks. All right, as John is explaining this, you realize he has no idea how creepy this sounds.
I mean, as long as it's earnest, I guess.
This is Matt. By the way, you're making me sound so awful.
I know, I'm sorry.
This is not how I'm phrasing things.
So you can spy on us at any time.
I mean, I won't. I wouldn't think of doing something. Like, not what, you know what? Yes, I could spy on you at any time. But here's the kicker, though. It's not like it's a gimme. Like, for instance, Sunny, you're really, really strong. If I tried to do that to you and you didn't know it was happening and didn't want it to happen, your body is going to reflexively try to resist it. Look, I can't sit down and explain everything, but cause and effect takes place even when it comes to mystical things. And whenever I'm trying to use an ability, if I'm trying to affect another being, I have to change their chemical makeup, their composition, or at least their attitude towards things. And you effectively get a chance to not have that happen to you. So don't worry. For someone like you, it's really unlikely that I could do that. Yeah, exactly. You know, sorry, I'm a little bit crazy in the head sometimes. Basically, when you push, things push back. So you always get a chance to push back no matter what, which is exactly what happened earlier to answer your last question, Senna. And I pull out the red kiss. There's this little kind of sinister, crazy looking red gem inside of a brooch that John pulls out from behind his tie. Suffice it to say, this is a very dangerous, very powerful artifact that it fell into my hands. I've had it for quite a while. John restashes it again. This thing can do stuff. From what had happened to you, I don't do this a lot because it hurts, but I can sacrifice a portion of my life force to make sure that either myself or somebody within a reasonable distance that I can see, if bad things are happening to you, I can make those bad things go away. But if I do it too much, it'll kill me. And that's kind of where we stand. So I can't pump this thing out all day as I get out of jail free card. So unless you guys have any more questions, daylight's burning, and I think that we should get on up there.
Do I have another question?
Are you gonna sleep too?
Yeah, well, I mean, unless you guys don't want me to, I can watch over your bodies. Is that crocodile gonna try and eat us if we sleep right here? I was hoping to get a short rest myself, but
I just think you watching us while we sleep is a little bit creepy.
Oh, well, no, I was planning on going under too. I kind of want to get some of my gosh. Okay, you know what? Let me do a self realization check. Can I roll to understand the human condition, Joe? Okay, A30, I now only realize how weird a lot of this sounds, and not the magic stuff, the way that I'm phrasing a lot of these things. And I say, look, I've been very clear. I spend most of my time inebriated, tired, and just completely focused on any task that I currently have set my weird little brain to. I don't really get to talk to people that much. I haven't for some time. I've been talking to a cat for the last 2 months. I've been talking to
It's not even a
Ben.
Real cat.
I've been talking to a fake cat for 2 months. I've been talking to a giant brick wall that's actually an ice demon, by the way. And I've been talking to a freaked out junkied cultist that got through so much of that weird Rousamon shit that you did that his brain barely works. So I'm a little bit on the messed up side, okay? So if you guys could just very gently, oh yeah, don't worry about it, he's nice. If you guys could just kind of gently remind me when I'm saying things or doing things that are a little bit out of the ordinary, sometimes I don't always catch that. That's one of the reasons why usually when I go somewhere, I find a companion that I trust and think would be able to kind of help steer me around the world, and they just make sure that I don't do anything too stupid. So if you guys want to do that for me now, since I lost my last partner, I would really appreciate it. Just know that I mean well, and if I say something that sounds moronic, creepy, or stupid, it's usually just because I'm really tired, a bit wasted, and just don't really get it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if you guys would just sit over there and just close your eyes while I say a few magic words, you'll knock out for about 7 minutes and then you'll feel great. Does that sound good?
Am I done charging my mines, or is that good?
Yeah, you're good. You got those recharged.
All right, you know what? Fine.
And while we've been talking, mate, I've been going through and setting up an alarm spell along the walls surrounding us.
Mm-hmm.
So when we take our cat nap, if it turns out that a giant crocodile or anything else tries to disturb us in our quick 10-minute sleep, mm-hmm. it will wake me up so I don't get eaten alive.
Right. You want to make sure it wakes you up before you go. So what is the cat? So we're not gonna go upstairs yet because we are almost to the end of our allotted time, and obviously we don't want to open up a whole new can of worms. So here's my thought. One, take this cat nap. What does that give everybody? Unless somebody else had something they wanted to do or something they didn't get the chance to say before I interrupt.
Just to share information, it's just a 10-minute short rest instead of an hour short rest. That's
okay.
All the spell
and there's
does.
no other kicker to it?
It's just a high-level spell. That's all.
Okay, great. So everybody...
They have to be willing, though. It's one of those things they have to be willing mm-hmm. for me to do it. And it knocks them unconscious for the duration. So it's basically just a quick short rest.
So, if you've taken hit point damage, which you're all pretty much fine. I think Asena and John are both down like a couple hit points, so you're probably fine.
Mate, real quick, I have permanent max HP loss because of using my weird dark artifact. Mm-hmm. Does that come back after a short rest or a long rest?
Long rest. Only a long rest.
Okay, cool. Then, yep, nothing I can do about that.
Asena, recover all your focus. Gaston, your minds are recharged. Other than that, unless you have any other abilities to charge on a short rest, I think that's it.
Nope. I'm going to have to go back to my lab for the suit thing.
Okay. I just found a cat in this room that is not supposed to be in this room. So I'm going to step away for a moment to prevent a fight, and then we'll come back and wrap up.
Cool.
Salvador, buddy.
Rogue cat.
So is there anything else that I missed that you guys asked that I didn't quite cover?
No. I mean, feel like I have more questions than answers, but at the same time,
yeah,
answer the questions.
Here's the bullet point. I'm a wizard. I'm an investigator. True. You guys were asking what was chasing me.
We did.
I was a part. I don't know if I'm still got membership with them or not. I started off as a basically, it's like a secret agent. It was kind of cool, actually. But I was a member of an interdimensional secret society that basically helped guide the framework of most mortal civilizations across time and space, at least as far as I know. Well, that's not what they told me in the brochure. It was just in relation to where I came from, as far as I knew. But as I've moved around the cosmos, I have found that this group that I was a part of wasn't just on Earth. So, yeah, good to know. Here's the thing. I think that they finally got wind of what I've been up to, and they're after me. And by that, I mean they're probably bringing me in for questioning as far as I can tell. I don't really know. I've just kind of gotten whisperings that something's coming. Little weird premonitions. You know how it is when the esoteric stuff happens. I don't really think it's a good idea that they find me, because here's the thing. Aside from having dark artifacts that I've uncovered, I'm kind of in possession of... Do you guys know... No, you probably wouldn't know that story. Look, suffice it to say, I got entangled with a dark god. I have the splintered remains of a regalia that, if it was able to be reclaimed by this being, it would be able to reform into its uber-powerful form and take over time, space, and everything in between. And I'm taking this shattered artifact, and I am leaving a piece of it across every world that I find, sealing it away, giving it to someone to watch over. Regardless, I'm trying to sprinkle the remains of this thing across the multiverse to make sure that it's extremely difficult, even nigh impossible, I would say, to recover it and to do said doomsday endgame bad thing. But I'm not sure the society knows that that's what's happening. I think they think I'm going around and like making super bad things happen, because when I go places, good things happen, but also bad things happen. A lot of my good work goes unnoticed, and really, I think people focus on the bad stuff. But suffice it to say, I've been involved in a lot of weird shit. Also, there's like a evil curse trying to eat my mind from the inside out, that if people get too close to me, it spreads to them. Don't worry about that. I don't think it'll happen to you. Look, it's just, I'm kind of a walking time bomb, and I have been making things worse no matter where I've gone, and I've only recently realized that, and I'm really sorry, and I'm trying to get better, but I need your help. Sorry, that was a kind of important thing that I probably should have mentioned a little bit earlier, but I didn't want to lead with that because, you know, it sounds really bad. So
let's just go to sleep.
I need a crickets button on my soundboard.
That was a lot of information.
All right. And honestly,
why I don't normally say this kind of stuff with people. I just leave it at the whole, oh yes, I'm a sarcastic weirdo. The weird things happen to around me, and I make off-pitch jokes that no one understands the references to. And, you know, I just look like a weird guy, but now you guys know why I'm a weird guy. And hopefully you still love me, and we can move forward past this and, you know, keep fighting bad guys and doing cool stuff and, you know, travel the cosmos. It's pretty fun, despite the fact that things try to kill you the whole time. It sucks. I'm going to be honest. It's so bad. I just want to go home.
Go ahead, Pods.
Oh
Gaston's just gonna fall into a corner.
I'm okay.
Are you saying that we could travel with you?
If you want, yeah.
And she's a little, Asena's a little too tired and too beat up to really entertain that too much, but
normally here's the only issue. It's kind of a one-way thing, just to give you a heads up. Like, I don't always know where I'm going, and it's really hard to get back, I found. So
the more you say, the more confused I get. So perhaps we should just take this nap before you talk me out of working with you more.
That's probably a good idea. Okay, everybody, get ready to go night-night.
I'm already, like, Gaston's just already in the corner curled up, just like, oh my god.
All right. As you lean over, you accidentally press something on the strange metal square that you received, and it goes, doo-doo. I don't know how to help you with that. Try again. Okay.
Siri?
Who was that?
Shut up.
Understandable.
Who's Siri?
Have a nice day.
Ugh, I don't
I'll
care anymore.
I'll take that back now.
All right. Our heroes.
Why are you on gnomesforall.com? Even is that?
All right. We'll go ahead and leave it there. Our heroes have battled a giant crocodile, had a very, very unusual conversation, and are still left in the position of deciding, one, what to do with all this information, and two, what to do about the mobsters upstairs and the ones across town. Next week, when we return to Coriander Adventures, our heroes will probably knock some heads. Thank you, everyone, for watching. That's next time.
The story continues next time on Coriander Society Adventures. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star review on the podcast platform of your choice. For more Casters and Castles adventures, visit our live stream at twitch.tv/castersandcastles.